Take your Bibles tonight to the book of John, John chapter 1. We'll be looking primarily at John 1:13, but tonight we'll read verses 1 through 17. John 1. So the theme verse is in verse 3, that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. What a wonderful few songs that we sung tonight, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. That's our Creator that we can lean on. Peace in the Midst of a Storm, that's who we can lean on. That's who we can trust in. That's God, the Creator of all. And I want to encourage us tonight to not forget, not to neglect, don't minimize who our God is. Our God is powerful. Our God is amazing. He's personable. So let's read John 1, 1 through 17. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I have been challenged by what my view is and what I believe in God. Now, as a born-again believer, I know myself sometimes in the day-to-day life circumstances that I face that I don't live as if I'm serving, I'm living, I'm worshiping the Creator of all. The God who had the power to free me from sin has the power and the ability today to help me to face life's challenges. And that's the theme of the message tonight, that Christ, the Creator of all, Christ, the Creator of all. Let's ask the Lord for help tonight. Dear Father, I call unto you as my Savior, my King, and we thank you for our church. How precious everyone is here tonight. You've brought us together to worship you. You've brought us together to study your word, to grow. Help us, Lord, to take this time as we heard this morning to not just be entertained by your word, but to really marvel and be amazed and be a doer of what the word has for us tonight. Help us to honor you, and I pray these things in your name. Amen. There's three things I'd like to talk about tonight, and I'll just give them to you as an overview so you understand where we're going. The first thing is we'll look at tonight is the preexistence of Christ displayed. The second thing is the power of Christ displayed. And third of all, the provision of Christ displayed. My prayer is for you, for us that are believers, that you would have a renewed amazement and reverence and dedication to our Savior. For those that are without Christ, those that are lost, my prayer is that you would understand how mighty God is and how he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. As we study the person of Jesus Christ tonight, may we as believers once again fall in love with him, to commit your life to him, to do what he wants, to reflect his glory and to constantly praise him. Let's focus on John 1, verse 3. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. A very powerful verse full of divine truths. In today's age, and in fact, this has been since sin came into this earth, that fleshly man, the natural man, does not want to submit to the authority of God that all things were made by him. It's not popular. If you were to go talk to the natural man today, the man that is fleshly, the man that mocks God, and you told him that God made all things, they would laugh at you. They would think that you are, not inclusive, that you are speaking harsh words, that you're rude, that you're hateful. But the fact is that God made all things. We can't change it. And we don't live and we don't speak that in pride. We speak that in a humbleness of heart because we know that sin had us so confused and so blinded. And we know that that power of God and his grace and love just transformed us. And we can say, God made you. God made me. There's so many things that we can think about in our divine creator, but God is the maker. He's the mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ is that mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he gave himself a ransom to be testified. Praise God for his gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like us to understand a few things about who John is, to prepare our hearts to understand the author of this book. John specifically does not tell us a lot about himself, but we can find a few things throughout the gospel records of who John is. John is the beloved disciple, the son of Zebedee, and his mother was Salome, one of those who would go to the tomb early in the morning at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John's brother was James. John was a partner in the fishing business with Peter. John and James were given the nickname, the Sons of Thunder. In Mark 3:17, we learn that John was a man full of energy. Mark 9:38, we find that he was intolerant of the man who wouldn't follow after them. Luke 9:54, we find that he was vindictive where the Samaritans rejected and were not hospitable to Christ. Mark 10:35-37, we learn that Mark was very ambitious. John 19:26 says that he was entrusted with the care of Mary, Christ's mother, and lastly, the thing we find about John is that we learn all throughout the Gospels that John was around Jesus, and for sure, he learned the lessons of the love of Christ. The Gospel of John is the most profound Gospel and the most difficult to fathom its meanings. The Gospel of John is a beloved Gospel because it paradoxically combines both simplicity and depth. As I was studying, one commentator put it, he said, the book of John is like a pool in which a child may wade in and where an elephant may swim. Erdman says its stories are so simple that even a child will love them, but its statements are so profound that no philosopher can fathom them. The date that the Gospel of John was written is unknown to us, but probably was after the last of the three Gospels that were written. And John had a view of Matthew, Mark, and Luke as he wrote them. So there was a lot of time that passed by. John knew Christ very well. He leaned upon the bosom of the Lord at the Last Supper and was already committed. We learned earlier, as I stated, was committed to the care of Jesus's mother. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are in the Synoptic Gospels are the account of many different things that Jesus did. But here in the book of John, we primarily focus on the deity of God and Jesus Christ and exactly who he is, not exactly what he did. So in the book of John, it points out the truth of exactly who God is. When you think about the Gospel of John, how many times have we passed out the Gospel of John to people? All over the world, the Gospel of John is printed as a quick book just to pass to people. We guide a lot of people to the book of John. The Bible tells us in John 21:15 that all the things that Jesus did could not be contained in all the books of the world. His works were marvelous. They were powerful. We'll find that Jesus did so many things for us to display his greatness for us right here in the very words of John. God used John to pen, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. John was directed by God to share, to show us the great power and the authority that is found in the name of our God. We have countless examples of verses all throughout the book of John that point us and point others to the hope that we have found in Jesus Christ. This book was given to us with a specific purpose, and that purpose is found in John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. All throughout the book of John, we see a powerful declaration of the deity of Jesus Christ. So plain, so straight, so forthright that it cannot be confused. John is starting out the book with a plain declaration that Jesus is God. Jesus is Christ, the Christ of all. He's the eternal Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the true Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. Today, may we receive him. May we live in a way that relies on him as our creator. He's our prophet. He's our priest. He's our king. And he calls us to give of ourselves, to be ruled and to be taught and to be saved by him. Amen. That is who our God is. That's wonderful.
Amen.
John 1:3 says, all things were created by him. Anything you see existed in thought, anything that you see existed in thought before it became a form. Thinking of this pulpit here, this pulpit began in thought. Some craftsman had in his mind a design and an idea for a pulpit to be here on the stage. And so the craftsman drew it out on a piece of paper, but it was an expression of what was his thoughts, what was in his mind. And so, before anything exists, it has pre-existed in thought. Since the craftsman has a thought, then there has to be a thinker. You can't have a thought without a thinker. Very basic. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God tells us something incredibly special, and that it actually goes back even before the thought you have of the existence of the One. God created things, and it was already thought about. All God, the preexistence of Jesus Christ, was before time. He's mighty. He's powerful. And that's what we learn about here in the book of John, is the preexistence of Christ. He has always been there before the foundations of the world were laid. He is there. His Word was there. So in the beginning, God says, in the beginning was the Word. He was existing then. So now we come to creation. In the book of John here, we see that John was inspired by the Holy Spirit to go back before creation. In the beginning, before there was anything, there was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then came creation. All things were made by him. Brother and sister in Christ, this is who your God is. For those lost and blinded and confused in this world that we talk to, that we interact with, those that are on our hearts that are not believers, we can point them to this God, the God of the Bible, the creator, the giver and maker of all. And he loves them. He loves you. He knows you. He understands what you need. He has given it to you through the gift of his Son, the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Redeemer of all. That's our God. In the account of Genesis, we read in Genesis chapter 1, again, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word God here in Hebrew, there is Elohim, which is a plural form. This is a reference to the triunity of the Godhead, one God existing in three persons. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Who is God talking about? In the divine counsels there at creation, the Father, the Son, the Spirit said, let us make God or make man in our image. Here, John, in the first chapter, shows that Jesus is the creator of all things and he is the object of creation. All things were made by him. The universe around us and all of life, it was all made by him. But all things weren't just made by him. All things were made for him, by him and for him. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through 22. Colossians chapter 1, 16 through 22. The Bible says in verse 16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things." The preexistence of Christ, and by him all things consist. He's the sustainer of everything. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That is our God. He is the head of this church. We are in the church of God, and he is the head of this place. So every time that we come here, he is the head. He is the authority over us. We can't escape it. All things were made by him. Jesus was with God, not to be acquainted with the divine counsels, but to be active in the divine operation in the beginning of time. The triunity of God is clear. It was together. Psalm 33:6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." God made the world by word, and Jesus Christ was the word. By him, not as a subordinate instrument, but as a coordinate agent, God made the world. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by who also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his Son, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." By the word of his power. The very words of God, of Christ, are powerful. How many things were created by God? All things. The galaxies? Yes, all things. All things. The word of God says in heaven and in earth, everything that you have ever seen and anything you can't see was made by God. So we see in John chapter 1, the power of the pre-existence of Christ displayed. Next of all, in John 1:3, we see the power of Christ is displayed. Again, to be redundant, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. How was it all made? Hebrews 11:3 tells us, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. This is another statement of his deity. You can easily connect this passage with John 1, 3 and see all the things which have come into existence by the word of God. Whatever you see in the physical, material universe had nothing to do with the creation of the physical, material universe. We know that because God created what we see out of nothing. It's all created out of nothing. He's powerful. I don't know if you've caught this, but being on visitation, I've met people where they say that they believe that God is the creator, but it has evolved over time. And it's really catchy because they will agree with you on the survey, but then they say that it's still evolving. No, God created everything we see out of nothing. God loves us. Think about our human body. The Bible says in Psalm 103:14, "For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." We are nothing but dirt. But God loves us. The Bible says that the Father pities his children because he is ever mindful that we are nothing but dust. Our very God knows how frail we are. And if you are struggling tonight, you can look to God. He created everything. He's the sustainer. He's powerful. The power of Christ is displayed right to us in the word of God. If someone cries out like, "I can't be saved. I can't know the truth." Yes, you can. It's right here. You don't have to worry about making up enough understanding and make up enough wisdom on your very own. You just need to fall down on your knees before God and say, "God, I can't do it. I'm going to go to your word and let your word work in my heart. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to take all my reasoning. I'm going to throw it in the garbage. I'm going to trust in you because you, God, are powerful. Your word is powerful." God is powerful. Number three, in John 1:3, we see the provision of Christ displayed. You know, the amazing thing about God is he didn't just create us and leave us hopeless without help. We can cast our care upon him. We know he cares for us. We don't have to worry in this chaotic world that we live in. And it's been chaotic for generations. Nothing new, not just because of what we've gone through for the past 2 years. God is in control. He is. His providential hand is controlling all things. This one who came into the world as a baby in Bethlehem has been around all throughout ages of time. He is working continually. He works here. He's the head of Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, and God is working here. If you don't see it, join in and let God be glorified. Submit to his authority. You will see God work. He doesn't work because of my ability or pastor's ability or any of your ability. He works because he's God and he ever liveth and he's on the throne. He's in our hearts. He's mighty. He is at work all the time. He is controlling everything in this universe. Things are not falling out of place. Things are falling in place. God is in control. He holds all things together. How do we explain that? How do we explain that he holds all of the orbiting of the planets together? How do we explain that? The Bible tells us that verse, that answer in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. "And upholding all things by the word of his power." The very word. He doesn't have to do anything else but speak it by the word of his power. That's God. As Pastor Chris preached this morning, that word of God is right here. And when we open up the word, that word is great. It's keeping all of the universe together. That is how and why the word of God is so precious. That's why the word of God can take my life and completely show me that I thought I was saved. I thought I was born again and I was confused. I was blinded by sin and pride and deceitful lust. And he showed me, says, "Jeff, you're not right with me. Get right with me." And I can know that because his word did that in my heart. Amen. Is God powerful to you? Have you experienced the power of God into your life? We know that one day the Lord is going to let all that we see crash and fall apart.
Amen.
The stars in the heavens will fall. The elements of the earth will melt. And the whole thing is going to be blown up in the sky. Why is that going to happen? Because God, He will not hold it together anymore. By His word, He will destroy it. He will cause the most gigantic explosion the world has ever seen. There's no movie theater that could possibly create in our minds the explosion that is going to happen. 2 Peter 3:7, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Why do we live? Why do we live for this world as believers? Why would we live for this world when it's going to be blown up by the word of God? It's going to be completely changed. But we anchor our life and our roots, and we're all consumed about things that don't mean anything. And in fact, if you have anything as a believer, it's a gift from God.
Amen.
And they're wonderful gifts, not to minimize the things that we have. They're wonderful gifts. James 1 tells us that. And we should give that back. We should thank God for that. But why live for something that doesn't mean anything?
Amen.
Why? Why does Jeff live in that way? Why do I cling to so many things? Why do I let things take place and put them before God? Why? Because I'm not worshiping Him. I'm not going to His word and being amazed by His greatness. I'm not submitting to His authority, because if I submit to His authority, He's going to say, do the work of God. Don't do the work of Jeff. Don't do Jeff's way. Do it my way. And all the time when God says do this, it means a forsaking of the things that I hold so dear. And it's like pulling Christians away, like, no, do it God's way. He's the creator. He's the sustainer of all. But God, I can't give up my house. I can't give up this. I can't give up that job. I can't. And those are the easy things to preach on. But I can't give that up, God. I want you, but I want those things. No, God's not going to tell you to do something and leave you. He's going to be there with you because He is the sustainer of all that we have. He's not going to abandon you. Our God is the creator, the sustainer of all that we see. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the foundation of all things. When we worship Christ, we worship Him as the creator of the world and who all creatures depend on. Even the man that mocks the name of God. Right? God gives them breath. He reigns on the just and the unjust. Jesus, here in the book of John, was that qualified example for the work of redemption and salvation through the cruel cross of Calvary. Our sins were laid on Him, the creator of all. My sins, Adam's sins, Brother David's sins, Donna's sins, Brother George's sins, Eric, your sins. It was laid on Him. He was mighty indeed. He was able to do that because He loves us. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. That is our God. And if we are the family of God and the church of God, why don't we, myself included, just give our all for Him? Live completely for Him. Not in an emotional, hyped up sense, but saying, Lord, I'm not going to compare myself with what another brother is doing or this or that. I'm going to submit myself to the Holy Spirit of God and ask God, God, can you please show me what you, my creator, my king, wants me to do? Because when times get tough and there's discouragements that happen, you'll have something to cling to.
Amen.
That's our God. He wants to work. He wants to work in our lives. Let's go and work down through John chapter 1. And I'm going to kind of make some comments as I go, just what the Lord did in my life as I study this out. So we've read verse 3. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. When you got saved, you had light and life. You were a new creature. You were excited. It was something worthy to praise the name of God. And you won't ever forget that day. You won't, because he is life. He is life, and he gives mankind life. And he gives us humans, man, new spiritual abundant life.
Amen.
Wow. He's the giver of life. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John 3:19 tells us this. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There's spiritual dullness here. There's spiritual darkness in this world. We can understand how to work with someone that is so confused. We don't mock people that disagree with us. We don't ridicule them, because we are nothing better than them. Without the light of Christ, we would be just there. Paul says, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Look at me. I am nothing. When I make a mistake, it's okay. You're human. God hasn't made any mistakes. His creation's perfect. He sustains the world perfectly. But I don't look at anyone else and say, I am better than them. The light of Christ, it shines in the darkness. But the world, they comprehended it not, because they're blinded by their things. They're blinded by the God of this world. So they would not hear, they would not see, they would not respond to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. He was God's messenger. Verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be saved. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This is our God. He has allowed us to be ambassadors of the light of God. For those that are believers today, God has called you to go, to be an ambassador, to be a proclaimer, and say, look what Jesus Christ has done in my life by his grace. Here is my personal story. This is what God has done, and I give it to you in humbleness. Because God is great. I am nothing. He must increase. I must decrease. I am unworthy. But God did something in my life, and I'm so excited to share that. He is wonderful. We don't have to go on outreach, family, worrying about speaking and testifying of ourselves. The pressure is not on you. So let's all come together. Let's blow the house up on Tuesday night or Saturday. Let everybody come, because you don't have to talk about yourself. All you have to talk about is God and what he did in your life. Clear the schedule. Let's fill up the house and say, let's go and tell Emmaus, tell the Allentown, tell the Lehigh Valley of what great God we serve.
Amen.
There's no pressure on you. There's no pressure. You don't have to make up and tell someone intellectually. You just have to open up the Word of God and say, can I share a verse with you?
Sure.
That Word is powerful enough to slice down into their hearts, down into the intents, down into the thoughts, down into the joints and the marrow, deep, deep, deep down into their hearts. Did God save you that way?
Amen.
He did to me. His Word kept drilling deep, deep, deep into my heart. Oh, God, I'm not right there, not right there, not right there. I'm lost. Amen. That's what God can do. And God tells us to go. Just as John was the forerunner of Jesus, we can be the goers with the message of Christ, that Christ is coming again, that someday you will stand before the judgment seat. Someday you will stand before God. Someday you will stand before the great white throne judgment. And I want you to know that you have a substitute sacrifice. That is Jesus. Which were born... Verse 10. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We know in the book of John chapter 1, verse 26, it says here, whom ye know not. We know that there will be those that reject God. We know that. The Word of God says there will be those that reject. But that doesn't change that God is not there willing, and his hand is not slack to save those and to cast our sins into the depths of the sea, to the uttermost. That is our God. We know that there will be those that reject him, but the Bible says it doesn't change. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. You have the ability to call unto the Lord and he will answer thee. He will show thee. He will accept you. He will allow you to call unto him to have forgiveness of sins. And he has given you that power to become the son of God, a joint heir with God, the creator. Amen.
Amen.
That's exciting. You could have nothing in this world's terms, and you're a joint heir of God. Okay. Have all your things. In all humbleness, praise God.
Amen.
I have nothing anyways. I can't take anything I have. When my mom passed away over 2 years ago, she was the first person in my entire life that I've ever laid next or was standing next to as they're laying there in bed, holding her hand. She's the first one that I ever had been with that passed away to be with the Lord in eternity. Never been around someone that died. She didn't take anything. She didn't take the wedding ring. She didn't take anything. She left some things. She left some fruit, some eternal fruit. That's all. She didn't take anything. What a shame if she would have lived for this world. Verse 13, 14, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Christ is the word. Christ allows us to experience the new birth, the new man. He allows us to have regeneration in our life. Verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the perfect example, full of grace and truth. My life verse is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I have a ministry verse, and that is this verse here, full of grace and truth. Lord, help me to be full of grace and full of truth. Lord, help me to submit myself to the Spirit of God and be full of grace, full of truth. Too many times I'm full of grace and no truth. Too many times I'm full of truth, no grace. Lord, help me to be full of grace and truth. And I can be that way when I'm submitting to the light, to God, to my Creator. Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Christ is eternal. Christ is full. The fullness of Christ is the display of the greatness and the grace of God. Jesus Christ displayed that. For the law in verse 17 was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So here we are tonight. Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, and Jeff's ability to open up the Word of God, power isn't of me, it's of God. I've done my best to study this out. The thing I found is that God created all things. And you can anchor your life into it. Remember, God made you. Remember that God has a place for you in this church.
Amen.
God saved you from yourself. You were dead, full of sin. Remember God. Remember Jesus Christ. Believe in his name. Cling to the words, the written word of God. Cling to it. Don't let it go. Think about this. By his grace, we were born again. We experienced the new birth. We were born of the Spirit. We had life. We had light was given into us. That's amazing.
Amen.
God is mighty. He has power to help each one of us, to sustain us while trusting him. Each one of us goes through different things. My stepping out of faith, which has been recently for me to sell my business, come onto church staff, work here. That was my step of faith. But that doesn't have to be your step of faith. God will show you. He's your creator. He knows you. He knows where you should be stepping out in faith. But the thing is that all of us have to step out in faith. All of us have to follow. And when we do that, He's there. God has not let me down in 2.5 months.
Amen.
He hasn't. I've had more Bible studies than I've ever thought I would have because I have more time I'm here. And there's been questions that have been thrown to me. And every time I go to the Word of God and the answer's there. I don't have to worry. I didn't have to get a 4.0 in college to be able to open up the Word of God and tell someone that has a 4.0.
Amen.
The Word is here. It's powerful. It's not about me anyways. For those seeking and haven't found hope in Christ, for those, the one that's here tonight that's not born again, not born of the Spirit, I plead with you. God made you. He loves you. He wants you to cast your care upon Him. He wants you tonight at the altar to kneel before Him by the foot of the cross. He wants to fulfill your most spiritual dark confusion that you don't understand. Call unto Him. Get on your knees before Him. His hand is able to save you. Believers, let's live a life of faith. He knows where we're at. He knows our hurt. He knows our fears. He knows our concerns. If we've lost sight of how great our God is, if you've lost sight, let's take time tonight to bow the knee before God to say, God, You are my Father. You're my Abba Father. God keeps His promises. He hasn't failed us. We try to control our own life. We don't submit to His authority. Oftentimes, I don't surrender to God. I don't give Him first place. I think I know everything. I feel that I can make a decision without praying. I feel like I can control my destiny without even going to my Creator and asking Him for help. That's me. That's when I'm walking in the flesh. God wants to be there. He gets glory when we call. He delights in His children.
Amen.
God isn't going to do anything or ask you to do anything that He can't enable and sustain you. He's God. Nothing's too hard for Him.
Amen.
I was thinking about Brother Ben trying to learn Thai. Nothing's too hard for you, brother. God can help you. Going into that nation that's so dark and so confused, God can change those people because He changed me. And that's the God I serve. He's mighty. All throughout the world, if you have a case of someone in your heart right now that you're burdened, that just won't believe in Christ, won't repent, they refuse, they rejected Christ, God can save them.
Amen.
Tonight, church, let's thank God for the blessings, the spiritual blessings, the earthly blessings He's given us. Let's thank Him for His Word. Let's worship God for the honor that is due to His name, for being our Creator, someone that we can depend on for all eternity. Get into His Word. Put forth feet to your faith. We have a work to do. God can help us. He can guide us. Submit ourselves to Him, His leadership, His lordship.